Good morning. All right, everybody's awake. Welcome to everyone here and welcome to those who are on the telephone, the webcast. I'd like to thank our brother Kim Boykin for his opening prayer. I really appreciate that. And I think given all the different things here, I think we can all agree that we are living in some very challenging times. Physically challenging, emotionally challenging, financially challenging, and an area that's really overlooked by most people in today's secular society, spiritually challenging times. Last week, our brother Craig gave a sermon on endurance. And if you weren't able to hear it, either in person or virtually, I would highly recommend you pull it up on the church's website and review it. In my message this morning, I'd like to consider the subject of endurance, but from a little different aspect, that of spiritual warfare or spiritual combat. Now, one of the important reasons that we study God's Word and that we come here to learn more of God's Word is to prepare and to be prepared for the spiritual combat, the spiritual warfare to which we've all been called. And part of that preparation is to understand the war that we are in, and to understand and to learn more about our enemy. Now, if any of you have ever read the book The Art of War by Sun Tzu, one of the points in that book is to know your enemy. And having been one in combat and in physical combat, you really do want to know your enemy and neither overestimate your enemy nor underestimate your enemy. So the Apostle Paul refers to this several times in his letters to the various churches that he was pastoring and founded. So we'll start in 2 Corinthians 2:11. This is one example of knowing your enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And in the New King James Version, it reads, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The New International Version, the NIV, translates this verse as, "In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." In other words, we need to know about the war we are engaged in and the enemy that we're fighting against so that the enemy does not outwit or outflank us. We're going to be doing quite a bit of reading this morning. So let's begin our spiritual combat training by turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. And for the most part, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, unless I state otherwise. So Paul's writing here, Ephesians 6, 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts or spiritual armies of wickedness in heavenly places." This is such a familiar scripture. I wonder how many times we've actually read over this verse in order to get to the following verses, which cover the armor of God. Also a very important subject, but that's not my focus this morning. The purpose of this message is for us to get a glimpse into the spiritual warfare that we have against an enemy that we cannot see with human eyes. So the first thing I'd like us to notice in this verse is that Paul states that we are wrestling against spiritual powers and forces of evil. The word wrestling implies close in, hand-to-hand combat, not some sort of a spiritual drone strike from some remote site. This is, you know, up close and personal combat. Now, to give us some sense of this spiritual war against these spiritual armies of wickedness, we're going to be spending most of the rest of our time in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, where God gives us a glimpse of that spiritual warfare that's going on all around us, beyond our human sight, and how that impacts not only us personally, but the whole of human history. So let's start in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Now, this part of it that says the appointed time was long could also be read, the message was true, but the appointed time was long and of great conflict. The New International Version, the NIV, reads, and concerned a great war. And concerned a great war. The prophecy, but also the revelation of that prophecy is concerning that great war. Now, the time setting for this takes place about 70 years after Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonian army as a teenager. And he was taken prisoner to Babylon, where he was trained to serve the king of Babylon. At that time, it was Nebuchadnezzar. So at this time, he would be about in his mid-80s and nearing the end of his life. We're not going to focus on Daniel's, on the vision and the prophecy itself, but on the part that leads up to it, which is basically chapter 10, verses 1 through chapter 11, verse 1. Now, if you'd like to have details on the prophecy and interpretation of the prophecy, I would recommend, since we're not going to cover that, if you're really interested in that, I would recommend you go to the UCG Bible commentary that you can get on our website, ucg.org. Rather, this morning, I want us to take a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, catching a glimpse of this unseen spiritual warfare in heavenly places that Paul wrote about, and how Daniel engaged in this spiritual hand-to-hand combat through his persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. So let's now go to Daniel. Again, Daniel 10, and let's read verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Excuse me. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, let me read to you an excerpt from the Expositor's Bible commentary on these verses, where they write that Daniel's consuming desire was to intercede for his people and obtain assurance from Yahweh that the nation would survive and would carry on till the last days and the coming of Messiah, the Son of Man. End of the quote. So Daniel spent 3 full weeks of intense supplication and prayer that included mourning and some sort of a semi-fast where he abstained from meat, wine, and other delicacies that a person of his position would be enjoying at that time. He even abstained from using fragrant oil on his hair or body. Now, these would, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but these would be personal grooming habits that a person of his social stature and position would usually practice. Remember, for about 70 years, Daniel was a top advisor to kings of world-ruling empires. But why did Daniel have to wait so long and in mourning and continue for 3 full weeks mourning and prayer? I mean, did it take that long for his prayer to get all the way up to heaven? Was there some sort of a waiting line and he was prioritized and put in a queue until God had a chance to listen to him? No, I think here is where God starts to pull back the curtain of the spirit world and gives us a glimpse of what's going on behind the scenes, beyond the physical, beyond human sight and sound, beyond human perception. So let's pick up the story and continue reading in verses 4 through 10. Verses 4 through 10. Now on the 24th day of the first month, this is Daniel speaking, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. The men didn't see the vision, but they could feel some sort of a presence, and it just terrorized them. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. This heavenly messenger that's bringing Daniel God's answer to his prayer is not identified here. We're not told who this heavenly messenger is. Some assume that it's the angel Gabriel, because Gabriel had appeared to Daniel before this with answers from God. But the identity of this person is not revealed. The description of this messenger does resemble Ezekiel's description of the glory of God found in Ezekiel chapter 1, and also resembles the description, John's vision of the glorified Christ found in Revelation 1. However, this messenger appears to be more of a very powerful angel, like the angel of Revelation 10, verse 1, that was described as being robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head, his face shining as the sun, his legs like fiery pillars. However, in any case, the being who speaks to Daniel does not appear to be the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Because, as we're going to read here in just a little bit, demonic forces are able to resist this messenger. they would not be able to do that to Christ. Now we come to the amazing revelation by the angel that there is this unseen spiritual war going on around Daniel at that time, around us now, shaping the course of human history and at the same time impacting Daniel personally. It's like it's as if the delay in answering Daniel's prayer is some sort of collateral damage in this spiritual warfare. So let's read it in Daniel 10, and we're gonna read pretty much from Daniel verse 11 through Daniel chapter 11 verse 1. Quite a bit of reading here. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Let me just stop there for a second. Can you imagine having a messenger sent to you personally, directly from God, calling you greatly beloved? Think about that for a second. That's awesome. And yet, the truth is, we are greatly beloved to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are greatly beloved. That should be inspiring right there. Let me start over again. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking, the angel, while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. This is a spirit being speaking now. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. You know, sometimes we see these little, you know, the cartoons of angels, little babies with wings flirting around. Well, those who have actually spoke with angels, angelic beings, they were just completely drained. They couldn't even stand in front of them. Very powerful beings. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved. Again, reinforcing God's love for Daniel. Greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said to me, do you know why I have come to you? I think that was sort of a rhetorical question. And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. And this is a parenthetical statement by the angel or the heavenly messenger. No one upholds me against these, except Michael, your prince. Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. In other words, this angel was up strengthening the king of Persia. Now, from this point on, chapter 11, verse 2, through the end of the book of Daniel, he's not talking about princes and spirit warfare going on. It actually now switches over to human kings, human kingdoms and governments and leaders. And you know, in that verse 20, he said, "Do you know why I've come to you? The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece will come." Did you notice that as he's talking about these different princes, again, these are not human rulers, but evidently these are spiritual or spirit rulers over these empires under the authority of the chief of demons, the ultimate enemy, Satan, the devil. Evidently there's some sort of a hierarchy, a spiritual hierarchy going on there that we're not fully clear on. Jesus did make it clear that Satan is the ruler of this world. We're not going to turn there, but you could look it up later. You can find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. And then he has these other beings under him as part of his hierarchy. So somehow these evil forces under Satan were able to delay the divine messenger getting to Daniel until that messenger received help from another powerful angel, and that name, angel is mentioned here, Michael. Although we have to remember that this delay was only within the limits that God permitted. I mean, we can see an example of this. Yes, God was going to permit this, but only to a certain extent. And we can see two examples of this. First one, which was mentioned last week, is that of Job. In the book of Job, where God set limits on Satan. And there's no record that Satan argued with God about it. Well, come on, I'm not going to do that. No, Satan did comply with the limits imposed on him by God, although he did make it extremely bad for Job. Again, now we find an example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark, we're not going to turn there, but I'll just review this with you. Mark chapter 5, where Jesus commanded the legion of demons out of a man who lived in tombs. He commanded them to come out of the man. The demons did not argue with him. They didn't refuse to obey. In fact, they asked permission of Jesus if they could, if when they left, not if, but when they left this man, that they could enter a herd of pigs. And then the pigs went wildly. But again, it was, they obeyed Christ. And this is, I think, the main reason why it does not appear that the person, that the messenger that delivered this to this prophecy to Daniel was the pre-incarnate Christ, because the demons would not be able to delay him. Now, as to how spirit beings fight, what type of weapons they're able to use against each other, we really have no idea. We know it's going on. We know that it is going on, but the exact details we don't have. But both sides evidently have some really powerful forces at their disposal. Of course, we do know, and our hope is that in the Almighty God will ultimately cause all wickedness to be overthrown. In Daniel's case, God could have eliminated the resistance in delivering his answer to Daniel's prayer immediately, as in the past. Previously in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed and he had answers pretty quickly. But this time, he did not do that. Evidently, God saw some use in permitting the delay. Maybe it was for Daniel's sake. Maybe it was for the messenger's sake or other angels' sake. Maybe it's for our sake today in studying the Word of God. We should notice here that the principle that there can and often will be a delay in God's response to our prayers. And I'm sure this is something that we can all relate to. But on the outside chance that you haven't had to experience this yet, it's something you most likely will have to go through in your spiritual combat training here on earth while we're waiting and preparing for Christ's return and the kingdom of God and our part in that kingdom. Let's also notice here that the only way for us to combat or wrestle with the discouragement of these delays is through persistence in prayer. Persistence, endurance in prayer. Daniel here was a great example of that persistence. You know, during that 3 weeks, Daniel didn't know why his prayers were not being answered speedily as they had been in the past. He was not aware of this spiritual fighting that was going on all around him, but he kept on praying. Think about it. What would have happened if Daniel quit on day 20 instead of persisting to day 21? Well, he might not have been given the answer that he did receive on day 21 that led to the longest prophecy, continuous prophecy in Scripture, covering world-ruling kingdoms from Daniel's time all the way to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ with the establishment of God's kingdom. So what about our persistence as Christian soldiers in this spiritual war? Well, one of my favorite Napoleon Bonaparte quotes was his statement, "The first virtue in a soldier is endurance of fatigue. Courage is only the second virtue." It has to be there. But if you give up, you don't have courage. And I can, you know, and when you're in a war, in a physical war, you can get really fatigued. Sleep is at a premium. Even eating can be at a premium. These are luxuries. And you can get really tired. And if you get so tired that you give up, you're dead. So we'll start wrapping things up here. In closing, let me ask, have you ever had to wrestle to pray? Or am I the only one that's ever had things go so badly that I really didn't want to pray? But I had to wrestle with myself and make myself pray. If I'm the only one here, then, man, I'm really embarrassed right now. But I think there may be one or two others that may have had this. That's spiritual hand-to-hand combat. You've got spiritual forces working against you. But you keep on plugging. Now, demonic forces cannot possess the believer unless we allow them in. They can, however, and do exert extreme spiritual pressure and forces against us, discouraging us, making us want to give in to the spiritual fatigue. And those spiritual wounds are every bit as real and just as deadly, and maybe even more so, than the human warfare that we can see throughout the whole of human history. Daniel gave us the example of persistence in prayer to wrestle and defeat those evil forces that are out to destroy us and to destroy God's work. For our last scripture, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And I'll be reading this from the New International Version, the NIV. And here our Lord Jesus Christ gave us a parable about this very subject. In verse 1 of Luke 18, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now drop down to verses 7 and 8. Jesus speaking here. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night persistently? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, God will answer our prayers in his time. But, as we're warned, when the captain of our salvation returns, will he find us enduring in faith and persistent in prayer? So, in the words, this is for those of us who are NC State Wolfpack fans, in the words of Jimmy Valvano, never give up, never ever give up.